time the women were by themselves, and the enemy was really clear-cut, was the man. But they were not their brothers, they were not their husbands, you know, they were not their relatives. They were the guards. So they harnessed, they did a lot of things, because all of a sudden they realized they could do things. And I think that maybe the case of the Japanese women, I realized that the same thing, because they didn't have any more, they could only live within the family. They didn't owe really allegiance to the family. They were able to do a lot of things as people. And I think about the relation of philosophy. You know, and I always maintain that philosophy is a term which is given to keep us away from each other, keep us away from the problem.
Because these people could have gotten out. They could have gotten out.
Thank you.
most of the, many of the men signed. They were broken much easier. Why? Because their resistance became still a resistance of bitterness and violence. And this kind of resistance did not sustain them, you see. And their resistance was not that they tried to escape, they were caught again, you know. They didn't create a world. And we are homemakers, so we as women, we made a home.
That there was resistance against racism, and there was resistance against the patriarchy in the camps, and they were, you know, done by men. And that seems like a contradiction, but men have been actively struggling against racism in the pre-war period, you know, and so there was a different form of resistance. So men did do that, and women, you know, resisted in the pre-war.
Many of them were partisans, the leaders, the political organizers. Many of them were very important political organizers. But I think they had the wisdom not to bang their heads against the wall.
Yes. It's very possible that
I wouldn't call it stronger or weaker.
Things that, you know, when they left the camps, in some ways the camps were a haven from, you know, day-to-day wartime hostility. When they returned to the West Coast, they confronted that. I mean, they were shot at, they, you know, they experienced the same kind of racism. And so the need to survive economically forced the women to put aside their individual interests and again work for them. So the changes that the changes appear to be temporary. But what I'm saying is that we see larger changes in the third generation. And there is a continuity. I don't know what the continuity is at this point. But you do see changes in family relationships between male and female.
There's a lot of mental health.
Well, one of the ways of interpreting the Japanese American camp experience is comparable to a rape situation, because for about 20 years the Japanese American population did not talk about their camp experience at all, and they were very ashamed, and they thought it was their fault that they were placed in the camp. And it's only been with the Third World Movement on the Pacific Coast that people, that the third generation has been asking questions. I did not know about the camp experience. Why did you not tell me? You know, give me information that this whole thing has become public. And people can deal with the emotional experience now. Before, people have just held it in, and they just pushed aside all their feelings. And there are now psychologists, there are now, you know, re-examination of that whole experience. But push for economic survival and to deal, you know, again with the racism in society, force people to put aside their individual concerns.
I don't know if your question involved a part about the Greek women as well. Well, the thing is very different because until 1974, these people could not really reintegrate in the society, men and women, because they were persecuted politically. I mean, we had a right-wing government, and these people were hunted down. Even though they were released, they were totally, they were like the Negroes of Greece. You know, they were not given jobs, they were not allowed to travel. So the only reintegration was within themselves, their own families, and they were very afraid. However, since then, there has been a reemergence. We have a socialist government now, and people can say now, again, they can say, I was there, and I did that, and so, and this kind of resistance in the camps, and they are being recognized now, and books have been written about it, but now.
Very special, very intimate, they could rely on.
mean, you know, they were a little, they never used this word, but the woman documented, receive in this some sort of experience. Okay, but this question of survival, I mean, one could say that political women simply did seem to bring to this something else. But what about the attitudes towards family, which seem, in the case of these men, at least as they describe it, to be so essential, to be the distinction between life and death?
Well, the family structure certainly was not really undermined, even though men were not together with women, but the men were suffering in other concentration camps as much. However, after it was over, the women went back to their previous roles of dependency and being housewives. But it was also because there was, in Greece, there was a 40-year political struggle and political oppression, and men and women struggled together. Since 1974, when there is no longer political oppression in Greece, these very women have started the course of many feminist movements. And it was just wonderful to see these women now. There are many of them are grandmothers, and they have organized democratic women feminist movements. But they're also politically affiliated, because Greeks are very political. But they are the ones who are beginning. They have bookshops, women's bookstores. You know, they're working now again for women.
The women's experience in internment also relates to how women are often imprisoned because of their relationship to men, whether their husbands or fathers, particularly the Greeks, it seems to be something. But would you feel that it was possible that because in something like the Japanese or the Greek society, and I think this is probably true also of Ireland, to some extent of Ireland, Northern Ireland, that women have been pretty much together in those societies anyway. Those are societies where men and women, I mean, this is not largely, but to some extent, live in fairly separate spheres. Certainly, I think that's true within the family. Women do things together, so it would be much more natural for women to be able to get support from each other, whereas for men, it would probably be a very different, you know, experience. So I've been struck by that, not only, you know, from what I know about Greek experiences, and still now in Greece, that men and women have lived pretty different lives. So that may be one reason why not only is the experience of being imprisoned different, and probably the treatment of women just as women, I mean, whether it's the threat of rape or all of these other things that, you know, can be used as weapons against them, but there's also a different way that they can resist based on just the fact that they're culture.
Can I say something? It occurred to me that I didn't think of this before, but before common law was imposed in Ireland, since Ireland was colonized by England, before that time there was a Brehan, his lawyer, Irish, and under that law, women there who lived at that time were much more, they were their own people, they were independent, they had rights within marriage, they had property rights, it was a very advanced society. So far as the world went at the time. And with the imposition of common law, I won't go into it at length, but that what happened was women didn't lose their rights. And now under this terrible suffering that had been going on under an unemployed world, and you have to remember it's the whole of Ireland, 32 counties, there's only 500 people in the north, it's in the north. But where you have a whole sector of the population that is several generations without jobs, men without women, several generations running. We have women picking up the pieces of their families and really holding them together in a way, if you ever get to meet some of these people, they're really remarkable to survive in the spirit of them too, and their children too. It's sad, but at the same time, there's a lot of hope, at least I see. I see hope in just the spirit that exists. I don't think I mentioned in the beginning that Ireland was partitioned against the will of a majority of the people who was in the election in 1918. 80% approximately of the people of Ireland voted in the only general election Ireland has has ever had to have a 32-county parliament, which was the tradition of the start of the summer.
And our strengths, we have to be more political, we have to take more power and just not allow this. This is what I think.
To
protest these things and not to allow them to happen by becoming more political, more not to withdraw in our cocoons, not to see.
You want to say
that's the reason, I don't know.
The examples you gave are examples of what
I guess.
Well, I learned from what you told us. There's that much time. Just cut this out. That's it. That's it. Yeah, but it's so encouraging to hear what you say. How do you do it? Most women think it's pretty old. Powerless. And they are.